Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad that you're with us here today. Joining me, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey, Steve.
Great
to be with you. Oh, my goodness.
It's always fun to be with both you guys. And we just got some great, wonderful news.
Mm-hmm. That Larry's going to share.
Larry will share it, and it's going to be fantastic. But people are so generous, and we're so grateful for their generosity. And it's amazing to me that people understand how much help is needed out there, and they honor us by letting us reach more and more people. It really is kind of mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to say this, said it many times, but so many people will not talk about Jesus. They won't even act like they're interested. But riding along in the privacy of their own car, nobody's there, they'll be switching through the dials, and they'll hear this program or another Christian program, and they'll stop because they know there is a spiritual dimension to life that they're missing. And I love this study out of Harvard that just came out a couple of weeks ago. 70 years of, the point was, if you go to church every day, it's not just religiosity or spirituality. It's going to church every week. You have like 33% chance of having a better life, longer life, all this stuff from church attendance. And, of course, the people that go to church that much, those are believers. So it's not just coming to Jesus for eternity. You know, it's a health club. I mean, you're better off today and tomorrow when you do it. So really hope and pray that, you know, when we are believers, we realize it doesn't fix everything. There's still problems going to come up, and we're going to be there for you, and we're grateful for the folks that support us so we can be there for you. In fact, speaking of being there for you, we are going to go right over here. Let's talk with, how about Johnny or Joni from Charleston, South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for taking my call. And I want to start off by saying I love contributing to you guys, and I love giving to the scholarship fund. And it adds a lot to my life. So I want to thank you guys for your work.
Thanks. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Hey, well, I have two adult daughters, and we were talking about Christmas presents, and without getting into the details, they lied to me. And they, over the last years, they either hide things from me or say untrue things, I pointed out that I think more of them than that. And part of me wants to, they're like in their mid and late 30s. I want to say, hey, you guys, you know better than that. But on the other, I don't want to scold them. I want to invite them to telling me the truth. Any tips?
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it at the break here, and we'll give you some tips right after this. I'm glad you called, and thanks for supporting us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, it's the same number if you want to help somebody else, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Milan Yurkovich is co-author with his wife, How We Love, What a Book and a Workbook, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, a timely book during this season. We'll take a break and come back with them and you and more right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and you just want to have an authentic, honest, upfront relationship with your daughters, and they're not very quiet. What's their reaction been when you've said, hey, just level with me, be honest with me?
Well, I had written them twice, and finally on asking, hey, are there any Christmas presents that you don't want that I give every year? And then the third time when finally said, yeah, don't give us whatever. So yeah. I want them to be trustworthy, because at some point my body's going downhill fast, and at some point I'm going to have to rely on them and trust them to take care of me, and it's scary.
I have a quick question for you.
Beyond that, even if that was never in the picture, I just want to have an honest relationship. Yeah. And like, how much courage does it take? I told them, I think you have more moral character than to not tell me the truth until the third time I asked you.
Okay, let me ask you this quick question.
Like I said, I don't want to scold them. I want to invite them. Any tips? Yeah.
Okay, here's the question. Is there any evidence of deception on their part other than Christmas present deception?
Yes.
Really? Like what? How else have they deceived you?
Just not telling me things that they think I don't want to hear. Concerts they're going to, and then other family members tell me, or a guy they're going out with, or just bad judgment. Like, it's in a way, it's sweet that they stand by each other also when in their deception, but that's like enabling.
So they don't tell you things that they think you'll disapprove of, or things that might hurt
right,
your feelings.
But they're not 12, you know, they're 36 and 38.
Right. So it may be time for another discussion, Joni, that like you said, you want to invite them. And so I would invite them. I would want to know, on the one hand, why they feel like they must protect you, and that what is it that you do other than being their mother that makes them feel like they can't be open as adults in their 30s. That at this point, you know, you raised them to a certain point. You gave them all the good stuff. It's now theirs to take and run with. And you realize, like I would, you know, let them know that you realize they're going to be making choices that maybe you wouldn't make, or, you know, you wouldn't want for them. But that's part of being an adult, is we make our own choices. We're not still tied to making our parents' choices.
I'd rather have them tell me the truth than go ahead and go see Lady Gaga. You know, go for it.
Right.
Don't hide it from me.
Right. Let's have an adult-to-adult relationship. And why is it that you girls still feel like you have to be an adolescent that's sneaking around me? What do I do that maybe causes that?
Well, Joni, you just said it a little while ago. You made reference to their choices as being bad judgment. So if
some of their things they do are bad judgment,
that's
but
the
most
point.
Of them aren't.
That's the point. If they know you are going to have an opinion about them that whatever they're doing is bad judgment, as opposed to they're adults and they're going to carry out their life, they're different than you and they're individuals, they don't think, feel, and reason like you do. And if they tell you what they're doing and they're going to either get a verbal or nonverbal that's a bad choice. It's a bad choice. Shouldn't have done that. I taught you better than that. If they're going to get that from you, no wonder they don't. They're going to hide things from you. Listen, I love your question.
That's a choice on their part.
Well, but it is also a choice on your part to ask the question, how can I be less judgmental so they will talk to me? How can I allow them to have a life where they're going to make decisions differently than me? And so that is something you're going to have to grapple with. They're not going to live out my life. They're going to live out theirs.
But I don't criticize them, like, for example, for seeing Lady Gaga. I'm like, great, that sounds like fun. And
so
not one bit of criticism.
So going
like,
back,
I didn't even say not the choice they would have made.
So going, again, what do they feel from you? You know, people can feel rejection. People shut down, their faces go different, and all of a sudden people go, ruh-roh, I shouldn't have said that. Now, Jill said a great thing a little while ago. She said to sit down with the girls, have a different discussion, and ask the question, why is it hard for you to be truthful with me about your lives? What's it like to be around me?
That sounds great.
I do think
that's... And that's what I love about your call.
Yeah. That is the question.
It is.
What's it like having me as your mother? How do you feel when you choose something that maybe you know I wouldn't choose?
And, right? You know, if you're willing to give up whatever they say you do, then it's going to be a pretty good outcome there. If they see mom's really wanting, you know, to make a change here too, to grow closer to us, maybe we'll make a change also.
Like if I ask them, do you like the chocolates I give you every year? And twice they say yes, and then they finally say no. Like it's not like even a bad judgment thing. It's
So
like
why do
truthful with me?
Why are they afraid to give you negative input? Right? Why are they? Why do they feel, that's where I was saying before, why do they feel the need to protect you?
Right.
So what has it been like for them growing up when they don't like something or they say something negative? Have they been corrected a lot?
Yeah, I think that when you go deeper with them, the Christmas present thing is going to take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And I just think... sometimes, you know, a little help from a family therapist can give you some insight, too. But I really think a genuine desire to know how they feel in your presence, how you react, and that kind of thing could really lead to a deeper relationship that I think you're wanting with them.
You know, I've had these conversations with my adult kids. And they're not kids.
Right.
They are my adult sons and daughters. And I've had these conversations. What do I do that is hard for you? What's it like being Milan Jurkovic's son or daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What pressure does that put upon you? What part of your adolescent was the worst with me as a dad? I asked questions like that. And I got some really honest answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I owned them. I apologized. But Steve, to your point, I then tried to correct those things.
Yeah.
So that I wasn't perpetuating them and tried to make a change. And I've done that with Kay, and I've done that with friends, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a lifetime. I mean, you did that just this last weekend with your son.
Yes, I did this weekend with my son.
Yeah.
An issue came up, and he had kind of a weird look on his face. And so we talked about it. I said, what's it like being on the receiving end of me?
Mm-hmm.
You're having a reaction. So we were able to talk that through. It was wonderful.
Man, I tell you, that's just gold for a child to have a parent what's it like?
Right. But we also have to realize as parents, and this is out of the realm of dishonesty, our children are not going to tell us everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should we have the expectation that
that's a good point.
Every little thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a desire, you know, for most people, their kids are some of their favorite people, right? But it's a different relationship that we have with them than they have with us. And part of being an adult is you don't tell your parents every little thing. That's part of adulting.
Right.
All right. How we love coming your way and forgiving our fathers and mothers. Maybe I should send you a copy for them, you know, then they could forgive you and then things would be better. But I'll get that off to you. Let's go to Jan. Seattle, Washington listens on the internet. Hi, Jan. How are you? Thanks for holding on there. What's going on in your life today?
Hi. Well, it's a follow-up with Joni's question. My relationship involves adult children.
Yeah.
I'm a mom, 87, of 9 children, 8 living. And none of them were talking to me for over a year. We got together with 62 on Thanksgiving, and one of us are still not communicating. And then a day later, I was still in her presence, and she absolutely will not say anything to me. But that's not the issue. I just need to know what my role is at this stage of life of how to communicate. We know how to communicate very well negatively, but I don't know how to say to her, you know, the dialogue you just said about how do you relate to me as a mom, you know, or what have I done to you, whatever.
Yeah. What do you think is her big problem that would cause her not to want to talk to her 87-year-old mom in her presence? What would she say? Here's the problem.
I have hurt her somehow by the way I react. And it has to do with me aging and her wanting to you know, be valued as a caretaking daughter, I think. I'm not positive. All I know is when I got the second diagnosis of a second daughter's diagnosis of a debilitating brain disease, I must have reacted when I gave in to them to make room for her to move in with me. And instantly, overnight, they said, no, she's not moving in with you. We can't trust you. We can't believe you. So I don't want the focus to be on any of those things. It's how I responded to them I'm not aware of.
Okay, so here's the thing. If it's just this one daughter, you should ask the other daughters, what is the thing that is standing in the way here? What do you think I could do to make it better? That would be. But if it's all your daughters,
Steve, she said that all 8 of her living children didn't talk to her for a year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
right, and they said they don't can't trust you or believe you.
Right. They, for instance, one big issue as an aging parent is driving. Doing things they don't think I should do, move, whatever. And I am in brain research all the time with doctors who give you driving tests, tell you whether you're cognitive able to live alone and to take care of yourself and make your decisions.
So, Jan, let me interrupt you for a second here. This is far bigger than you aging. This is far bigger than that. This is lifetime. This means you're adult sons and daughters. They're not kids, and you're no longer the parent. You're their biological parent, but these adult sons and daughters are in their 50s and 60s, etc., and they don't want to have a relationship with you. That is the question. And I would, here's what I would do. I would call each one of them by themselves, ask them if they could come over and have a 1-hour talk with you, and you're going to write down everything they say and not defend anything. But I would want to talk to each one of them and ask them, what have I done that makes you not want to be with me? Or what have I done to hurt you? And I want you to go all the bit way back to when you were a kid.
It's a great gift you could give each of them.
Fabulous gift.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference than those first time you're with someone and you say, hey, let's get married and have kids. It'll be so much fun. It's tough.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh. I wanted to let you know about two special offers that are only available in the month of November. The first is a free download of 5 irrefutable truths that can transform your life. When you embrace these truths, you can expect that things will change. Just visit newlife.com and click on the banner to get your free download. Also, we have free shipping and special pricing on several products. We're making it easy for you to treat yourself or maybe take care of some holiday shopping. Visit newlife.com and click the banner for more details. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and really love getting to handle your calls as difficult as they can be. Boy, we've had some really, really tough calls here. Let's go to another one. Maybe this one's tough, too. Bert, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Hey, Bert, how are you today, and how can we help?
Hi. Yeah, I'm doing fine.
What's going on?
Yeah, I've got... I'll give you the question first, and then...
Okay.
Then I guess you can ask me some questions. I know that you have the Restore workshop that addresses women and betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, do you have any resources for a man who is suffering the same kind of problem?
Okay, tell us about what's going on with him.
Okay. the man is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married 34 years.
Okay.
When I met him, I was in a period of my life where I was acting out. I was very promiscuous. When I met him, I continued that behavior, and I hid it from him.
Okay.
It was pretty easy to do because we didn't live in the same part of the country. So, that's what I did. After we were married, I figured it was just in my past, and I tried to... There were certainly hints that he would sometimes ask questions, but I generally would just deflect and deny.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of these many years, he finally dragged all of the sordid details out of me about 13 years ago, and has ever since has not been able to. He figures that I've played him for a chump, and he attaches a lot of malice to it, and so at this point, this many years later, he still won't or can't forgive me, and just treats me pretty badly at this point.
It's so sad.
So,
you know, what's so sad is that you can't undo the past. You can't. There's nothing you can do, and he's the only person that can free himself and you.
Yeah.
Of something that it really had nothing to do with him. Yes, you were dating, but you know, I've used this analogy. If you're in a big ship and you decide to stop the ship, you know, there's still some momentum. And it takes a while for it to finally completely stop. And you never started that boat up again. And you've been faithful to him. And it's just so, so sad.
But Bert, were you unfaithful after marriage? Like during the marriage?
No.
Before.
I was, I acted out, right up to when we were married, like even when we were engaged. And I did have one coworker who was a couple years in our marriage who I guess now that I've learned the lingo, an emotional affair, because he confided to me that he was suicidal, and I ended up being kind of his lifeline for a while, and I got too close emotionally, and he would have taken it to a physical, but I just stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I did not, I have not been, and I haven't even engage in any risky behaviors, you know, haven't given him any real reason. But he wants to rewrite, you know, oh, yeah, but when you were on that trip, that business trip, I mean, you were with these guys and you could have easily, you know,
But you didn't.
You know,
well, you know, I think there are a lot of written materials out there now on betrayal trauma. And see, your husband, hearing this information, he's sorting through your whole life together being a lie because, and like he said, he feels made the fool because he didn't know. It's not like he knew and then you guys dealt with this together, right? This was a secret.
Right.
So if you kept this secret, what else did you keep secret, right? So the whole foundation of trust in your relationship has been broken. And, you know, even though it's been a long time and you haven't done anything, it's so new to him. It's fresh. It's as if it just happened. So I'm wondering.
13 years ago, it was fresh.
Oh, 13 years ago. Oh, okay. Okay. So in the 13 years, what work have you guys done? What work have you done to repair?
Well, I've been to counseling. I've been to lots of counseling. And I've set up a few, you know, sessions with him as well. He doesn't really last very long in them. And when I say, you know, these are not things that you and I can work out because we talk, we go round and round in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll address that. And but he just will not, he doesn't really want to entertain. What he says is, I am not going anywhere and telling him these stories. I'm not, I don't want anybody else to know about this. Mm-hmm. You know, so if he won't discuss it, then it can't clear. And I've told him, I said, you know, I'm not the one that's going to give you the answers. You have to get them from someone else. So, this is
so sorry. So sorry. We're going to take a break. Try to give you some help right after this, okay? You know, when the Bible says to get rid of all bitterness, there's just the alternative to not doing that is just death to everything. It's just horrible. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Tough situation. And, you know, the complicating thing is he can't let go of it. It happened right up, you know, right before they were married. Mylon, what are you thinking when you hear of a situation like this?
Well, Bert, thank you for your call. And I really want to validate your frustration. It would be very hard. This is a problem I've seen in my office a lot over the years, where there is a history that is disclosed 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later in the relationship. And as Jill has already said, it seemingly invalidates the entire relationship to the person who's hearing this for the first time. And so it's a huge shock, and it makes them question absolutely everything. And then they also, as you've already illustrated, Bert, they read into situations, and they go, see, on that business trip, I mean, you know, what were you doing with all those guys? And so it's going to be really hard. And I think I'm going to be a little radical here, but in order to get your husband's attention, I would say to him, I've been unfaithful to you, and if you want to leave me, please do. But
mm-hmm.
if you'd like to rebuild something new, not try to rearrange the old broken pieces and put that piece back together again with crazy glue. Let's build something new, but let's do it from a basis of us re-choosing each other from this point on. And what you need to do is not just go to individual therapy. You need to be in with a therapist that understands your histories and helps you guys understand your histories so that you can get to know and love each other for who you are with a truly honest and view of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. that is who you say I do to. And perhaps even to allow him to have the freedom from you and then re-choose you. And for you to re-choose him and say, let's start all over again. I think it is important to help him understand that we can debate the facts and then he's going to want to question everything over and over and over and over again. And I don't want to tell all people all this stuff.
Well, he feels so much shame.
Well, he,
of course. It's just like what women feel in the situation.
That's right, Jill. And her point, or his point's well taken. I feel like I've been taken for a fool. I've been duped. Mm-hmm. I'm the dodo head here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look what you
and
did.
And I would be embarrassed and for I'd people embarrassed. To know how foolish I have been.
Right. And that's all I was worth to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I would offer him the option of starting all over again.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. We'll, if he would come, we'll scholarship you into intimacy and marriage in February. So you could say to him, if you're going to stay with me, let's do this and let's rebuild this. Because, man, there's a lot of healing that takes place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we'll take away...
And
you know,
who wouldn't want to come to California
is.
In February?
Yeah. Especially so if you live in Philly. Yeah.
If you can get here in February, here it is. We'll help you. We'll pay for it. But you just have to get on a plane and get here. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, if he's not willing to take us up or you up on that, then that says a lot.
Can I say one more thing?
No.
Pretty
yes,
please
of course
with sugar on it.
Yeah. What is it?
Bert, I would really also explore his history because mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that somehow, this is a guess, that maybe in his past there has been betrayal before. Either he witnessed in his home, he experienced it. And so what happened with you is magnifying a historical wound in him. When people have huge reactions, I always suspect that history is involved. And I would ask him that. In what other ways have you been betrayed or wounded? And here's something else I rarely say on the radio, Bert, but I'm going to say it just for you. Have him listen to this call on the archived calls. Just go to newlife.com and you can listen to this radio show and have him listen to it.
Yeah.
And
that would be good.
That would be a great start. And that offer that Steve made, man, what an offer.
Well, I really feel for her.
I do, too.
I really feel for him.
And for him.
You know,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
He needs a nudge to get beyond this. I feel for Larry, too. Because Larry, he comes in, he patiently waits. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Steve, I got two things today.
Two of them.
Yes, I do.
First
one is Giving Tuesday. You know, in the past we've done some things and it hasn't been a great roaring success.
Well, because everybody spent their money on Black Friday and what is it?
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
You guys have better attitudes than me. I just say yesterday was Giving Monday, tomorrow's Giving Wednesday. But a donor called. She is the most generous long-term donor we've had. And she called a few days ago and said, what are you doing for Giving Tuesday and when are you going to do your next match? And it took me a couple of days, and I put it together and called her this morning and said, you know what? You could make a match, and we could do it on Giving Tuesday. And she said, let's do it. I'll commit $50,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So, folks, this is your chance. Here's a challenge. Giving Tuesday, you can make a gift up to $50,000, and it will be matched.
Oh, that is so cool.
So,
double dog.
Yeah.
Double Dog Tuesday. You give, and she, that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Please, please help us. Every dollar is really two. I love that. I love that.
So
anything else, Larry? I think you had a number two thing.
Yeah, number two is Every Man's Battle coming this Friday, Dallas, Texas. You guys need to be there. I know there's a lot of you that are feeling a little shame and guilt right now, and you'd like to turn the radio off if you're listening, especially with your wife. But here's what one man said who recently went. The biggest goal I had in coming was a huge need for community. One of the biggest reasons that my recovery has struggled is my lack of accountability with men who are in the same place that I was, men who know how deep and pervasive my addiction truly went and had more to offer than thoughts and prayers. I found that this weekend I know I'm not alone when I say I'm going home better prepared and equipped for the long road ahead.
Mm.
Guy, it's kind of a repetitive thing. The thing that makes the difference of this workshop over any others that you go to is the group experience.
Right.
Our counselors have all had their own issues and sexual addiction in their past. They get it. Nobody's going to preach at you. It's a no-shame zone. You're going to feel love and grace all over the place this weekend.
Larry, they don't preach at you, but they do teach you.
They do. Mm-hmm.
Biblical principles that we need to know in order to change our thinking.
Right. And when I say don't preach at you, what I really mean is there's nobody getting up thinking, it's not my problem, and I don't know why you guys have it,
right.
So get over it.
Right.
It's nothing like that.
So. It's just so profound. When a guy comes in with all that shame and leaves free to be the man that he wants to be and has tools and a path. Mm-hmm. And so if you're the man or you're married or used to be, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll give you some help. And please, on this wonderful Giving Tuesday, we'll match it thanks to our wonderful, faithful donor. We'll match that gift. She will call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, we can send you a copy of Dave Stoops' book as a way of saying thank you. Living Well, Finishing Strong, and that's what he did. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the phones. How about we talk with Joy from Nashville, Tennessee, WNQM. Hi, Joy, how are you today?
I'm well. How about yourself, sir?
I'm well, too. What's going on in your life?
I don't know whether it's my issue or the issue of men, but my mom separated from my dad when I was 2 years old. He was abusive, not just physically, but verbally. And she left him when I was two. We came to Nashville, Tennessee to live. Of course, I grew up with him being absent from my life. And whenever mm-hmm. I had my visitations with him, his mom was verbally abusive as well. So mm-hmm. there came a time when I just told my mom I didn't want to do the visitations anymore because I didn't want to be subjected to that. Fast forward to about 18, 19 years old, I married a guy that seems to be a really great guy until jealousy, control, manipulation, all of those things after marriage reared its ugly head. So yeah, I was married to him for like 30 plus years. We've been divorced since 2009. He passed on in 2019, but we've been the best of friends. But I have not had a date since I divorced the man.
Okay. Well, the music is getting louder and louder. We're going to help you with this as soon as we get back from this break. I'm really glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you want to help us, just call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What do you got to lose? Nothing.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Talking with Joy. Joy, are you wanting now to get actively involved in dating? Is that part of this call here?
Yes, but I was saying to someone, you know, I know sometimes you can be unavailable to people or giving off the air of being unavailable to people and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's the question for us then? What would you like us to help you with?
Well, what do I need to do other than online dating and all of that foolishness? I'm 66 years old, Phil. I don't care to participate in any of those things. I'd rather try to do it old school if it was a probability, but I don't know. Maybe I just need some kind of tools in my toolbox to where I'm putting myself out there, but in a safe and a proactive way.
Yeah. Okay. Jill?
Joy, I think it's often good to get feedback from one's closest friends who know you and observe you and can let you know if you are open or not and in what ways might you be open.
Okay.
Right? I have had friends say to me, Jill, you have to look up and notice, right? You have to notice that there are men out there, and I think that's an important point.
My daughter says that to me all the time. She said, Mama, you're not paying attention. I see, but you don't see. I said, well, no, because I'm not paying attention. I agree with that.
Right. So it's to start to take notice. It's to look up. It's to smile. It's to start to not just be within yourself and thinking about the things that you have to do, but to be more present out in the world is an important piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Connecting eyeball to eyeball, letting a man know you're safe, you're open to conversation. Those are things.
Basic body language.
Yeah, right.
Expresses openness, and then working on an attitude of openness. Are you open? Is there some resistance there? What do you tell yourself about dating or about men?
Yeah.
It's important to work on that attitude because you're right. People can sense whether you're open or not.
Send you Mylan's book, How We Love, and I'm going to send you this dating book. Is this the one?
Could I say something?
You absolutely may say it and say it well.
Okay. This is really important, Joy. Did you say you're still friends with your husband, your former husband?
Hold on one second. Let's get Joy back on
away.
Here.
No.
Joy,
we were the best of friends. After we divorced, we were the best of friends. As a matter of fact, both of our children complimented us on how our relationship developed into friendship after we got divorced. But he's passed on now. He died in 2019.
Okay. So what I think is really important, because I was going to have you do something that's pretty different, and that would be to ask him what in your relationship caused him to be angry at you, or what was your part in that relationship that created this core pattern that evoked from him his responses to you. And I would want to know how this kind of goes along with the theme of what we've been talking about today. What do I make other people feel like? So that's just thought number one. Thought number two.
But you don't want her to like do a seance or
No, we can't. You
guys became friends, and I wonder if you ever had those kinds of conversations.
Right. Like, you know, what's different now than when we were married? Those kinds of questions. But I want to go back, and I don't have a lot of time, so I want to say this really quickly, Joy.
Okay.
You said this is like a thing with men, and yet your dad's mother was also abusive, you mm-hmm. reported to us, so much so that you didn't want to be in her presence. So it's not about men or women. It's about learning to thoroughly vet or thoroughly investigate who the person is I'm dating and find out who they are. And so I have two pieces of if you find someone, I have two pieces of information that I recommend. Number one, don't have sex with them. Number two.
Oh, that ain't happening.
Okay, that ain't happening. I get it. Thank you. But a lot of women start having a physical relationship with men quickly because they push that on women, and they don't get to know the individual, and the husband or the man never gets to know the woman. Number two, date a guy for over a year, and have a lot of fun together, and then you will begin to get to know him as to whether he's a
Thank
good
you.
Investment. Those are my two
I
pieces.
Like it. That's good.
Those are my two pieces of recommendation.
And get involved in new activities.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, do something different.
Volunteer different places.
Go to a fly fishing club. You know.
But make sure you like fly fishing because you'll be doing a lot of it.
Hey.
Well, you know, if you really want to meet people, the number one meeting people tool is a great looking dog. I'm telling you. If you want people to come up to you, they get
a Labrador retriever
so
and you'll have people all over you.
My cat isn't working.
No. Cat's not going to work, Jill.
Oh,
in fact, research shows if you want to meet fewer people,
walk your cat. Yeah, walk your cat.
Because then they think you're weird.
Yeah, because what is she doing? Yeah, anyway.
They walk cats on the other
great,
side of
though.
The street.
Cats are great. Don't want anybody calling in here and saying we're anti-feline. We are not anti-feline. But I do love dogs. We're getting a brand new one. Tomorrow. Cannot wait. Little puppy.
Is it a snickerdoodle? What kind of doodle is it?
No, it is an English cream golden retriever.
Oh.
So it's white.
Ooh.
And we have two whippets. One is named Pearl. The other one's named Poppy. And this one is named Piper.
Oh,
and Pearl, Poppy, and Piper.
Well, that is very
Piper
cute.
Piper came from the fact that when we were dating, there's a place in Laguna Beach called the Sandpiper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we went there one night late for a dance. We like to dance. And it was kind of a magical experience, the music, the atmosphere. And it was there that we realized, you know what? I think we need to get married.
Oh.
And so we're naming our little dog Piper to remember the Sandpiper by. All right. Well, if you're weeping over that, you're too emotional. We can help you. Anyway, no, it's going to be fun.
Very
hey,
sweet.
I want you to know that we love you. We're grateful for you and hope that maybe some of you will hear about that match that came through and here on Giving Tuesday, last day of the month, that you would you'd help us here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Either one. And oh my goodness, you wonderful folks that join Club New Life, thank you so much for that. We've got such a great year ahead with events for you as part of that club. If you've never ever been part of the giving family, it really is a different experience. And people tell us, I just love giving because whenever somebody has a breakthrough I hear about, or they get help, or I hear a testimony, I know I'm part of that. And you really are. I hope and pray that your whole life is giving. That your God bless you, Jill. With
yes,
that
sorry.
And we've cut back costs. We don't have a sneeze button, so that's what's there. But anyway, I hope and pray that your whole life is a life of giving to others. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to give people the same grace that God has given us, holding something against somebody that they cannot change. It just hurts you and them. Have a great day. See you tomorrow right back here on New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.